We are in a little practical series this morning, again, called A Light in the Darkness, that we've even been singing about this morning, and then we'll be coming back to the book of Acts in February, but we're working right now in the month of January, how to get our hearts and minds set on the foundation of the gospel, get our thinking right so that we can be the people that God has called us to be here in 2026. You know, John, in his introduction to his gospel, we mentioned this last week, he talks about Jesus being the eternal Word of God, and then he says this about him. He says in John 1, 4, and 5, in Jesus, or in him, in Jesus was the life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Right? Jesus is our light and our life, and he is currently shining. And he can overcome everything that you have going on in your heart and mind. So we want to do that this morning. There's lots of things, right, that are pressing on our minds and hearts from the world, especially, I think, in these winter days post the holidays. We can have dark thoughts, and our minds can become dark, lose hope, disquiet our peace. But the Bible is always telling us there's hope in Christ, right? There is light to be found in Jesus. And God can handle these thoughts in our minds. So whatever we're facing, we want to shed the light of the gospel on it this morning. Now, last week we looked at what the Bible has to say about our meaning in life, how we are created to be image bearers, and as we worship God, our meaning grows, and he has called us to spread his glory all over this world. It doesn't matter what you do, it matters how you do it, right? That you do it to the glory of God. Now, this morning, we're going to apply the light and life of Christ to the topic of anxiety, okay? Now, I know that this is a difficult topic for us. In fact, if you're an anxious person, you have anxiety, that we're going to talk about anxiety right now, right? This is a hard topic, and it's a great darkness that really torments our mind and our soul, many of us, and really all of us at some point will face anxiety in our hearts and minds. This is part of what it means to be human a bit. In fact, let's think about this problem of anxiety with me for a second. I was doing a little research on this. You know, ChatGPT makes this so easy these days. So it's fun to do a little research and see things. But it told me that 30% of adults over the age of 25 have regular thoughts, anxious, anxiety thoughts that cause them to be unable to act. And it says 20% of us take medicine for our anxious thoughts, okay? This is where we are. Now, it gets worse than this. It says for those under 24, 50% of them have regular anxious thoughts. Think about that, okay? This is a growing problem in our country, especially for young people. In fact, you know that Utah even ranks higher than the rest of the states in this. In fact, we're usually number 1 through 5, somewhere in there, on anxious and depressive thoughts. I mean, this is a real problem that we face. We know it. I know you guys know this. You feel this in your life. And anxiety can be crippling. I mean, I get it. Like, maybe you've experienced some of these issues. You just have racing thoughts that you can't get under control, and your mind and heart start spinning, and you get stuck in that cycle. Maybe you're anxious about your well-being or the well-being of your family. Maybe you have anxiety about illness, bodily harm, death. It can be crushing worry about your finances, how you're going to take care of things. We worry about our future, like, where are we going? Even politics has grown into a very big worry for many. In fact, I asked my son in the car this week, and he said, politics. I'm worried about where this country is. We worry about worldwide events and even the environment and global warming. I mean, Utah's had the weirdest winter that I can remember, right? This causes us a bit of worry. Like, I want to have drinking water in the summer, right? But I want you to see, we kind of think about anxiety as this weird beast out there that's going to throw strange things at us. These are the same things that humans have always been worried about. There's no secret here, okay? These are the things that worry our hearts and minds. Like we said, it can feel like a crushing weight on our chest, even a pain in our side. One of the times I had great anxiety, I had pain in my side. They wanted to take out my gallbladder, and then eventually when the stressors went away, my side felt better, right? Extreme forms, it can manifest in panic attacks, I just want to run away and get out. It can be frozen, not able to act. It can lead to depression. You might not be able to get out of bed or out of your house, or you can't go in a car or ride on an airplane or see anyone or do anything. You know, I'm not necessarily an anxious person by makeup, but I remember the first time I believe I had a panic attack just several years ago, actually. I was in a meeting, was finishing up my PhD, had a lot on my plate, and I had a particularly stressful relationship at work, and I remember sitting in the meeting and kind of all the weight of all those things, all the responsibilities, all the worries kind of started pressing in on my mind and heart, and I was dealing with this hard situation, and my mind began to just spiral out of control, and I just wanted to run out of the room. Right? Just run away. I don't even know where I was going to run to. Like, you just want to get out of there. Get out of those thoughts. It's a horrible feeling. I described it to somebody later and said, "You had a panic attack." I was like, "Oh, that's what that feels like. I don't like that very much." It's a horrible feeling. And there's a lot of dark thoughts and pain, and all of us have dealt with these thoughts from time to time. And I want us to think carefully about this morning. In fact, peek into your heart now. Let's ask God to give us a little grace. Look in our hearts. What has been your most anxious thoughts over the last 3 months? You go, "I don't want to think about those." Well, we're gonna give those to God here in a second. But let's think about what have been your most anxious thoughts over the last couple months. And those are the thoughts this morning that we want to apply God's solution to. We're going to let the light and life of Christ shine through these thoughts, all the darkness, and bring us some light and peace. This is what he promises. In fact, the Bible shows us that in Jesus, there is a way for this anxiety to be turned into peace. It says that he is with us. He wants to take the burden of anxiety from us. In exchange, he wants to give you peace, okay? We're going to see that this morning. So the Bible gives us a really great three-part answer to this, how we can combat anxiety in Christ. And we're going to use Philippians 4, 5 through 9 as our guiding text this morning. And as we read it, you know, this is a great text to memorize. In fact, I'd encourage you to do that. I say that about a lot of passages, but this is a really great one that you need to have tattooed on your heart and mind. Here's what Philippians 4, 5 through 7 says. We'll take the first couple verses here. It says, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Okay, those are really good words. I like these words. If you struggle with anxiety or worry, all you want is peace in your heart, and Paul's saying it's available. It's available in Jesus. This is good news. And you have a choice to believe what Jesus is saying here, okay, to get to peace. In fact, let's read it again. He says, "The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Okay, we're going to look at the next two verses in just a second. In fact, those are going to be like preventative maintenance, but we're going to focus here on the light he's putting to the darkness of our anxiety and the two parts of our answer for living anxious-free. So here's the first thing that Paul is saying to us. Really simple. God's presence beats anxiety. Okay? In other words, God's presence dispels anxiety. This kind of reminds me of, anybody like They Might Be Giants? It's one of my favorite bands of all time. We have a great song called Particle Man, and Particle Man meets Triangle Man, and Triangle Man hates Particle Man, and they have a fight and Triangle wins. This is what God does of anxiety. Okay? When God meets anxiety, God hates anxiety, they fight, and God wins every time. Okay? God's presence beats anxiety. And so we got to get our anxiety before God if we want him to beat it. Okay? Paul starts by telling us God's presence beats anxiety. God wins. Philippians 4, 5, the Lord is at hand. Okay? Meant to be an instantly calming phrase. Middle of our anxiety, crazy's going up in our hearts, our minds are spinning out of control. Meant to be pause button in our anxiety, God is here. God is bigger than your anxiety. God's presence beats our anxiety. My mom is here this morning, and she tells me, I don't remember this, but when I would wake up in the middle of a night, in the night, when I was a toddler, maybe had a bad dream or whatever, there's monsters in my closet. I was really afraid of monsters for whatever reason, but monsters in my closet. I'd wake up in a panic, and then what would I begin to say? Mommy's here. Right? I repeat it over and over again. Mommy's here. Mommy's here. Mommy's here. Because that'd be the first thing she would say when she'd walk into my room. Mommy's here, right? And all the monsters go away. Well, that's what God is saying. That's what Paul's saying to you. The Lord is at hand, right? God beats anxiety. His presence beats anxiety. God is here. Say it with me. God is here. And sometimes you just got to say it out loud to break the cycle of our thoughts. And really, this is a statement about God's sovereignty and imminence. The Lord is at hand means he is big and awesome, but he is right here with me. And he is in control, because that's what it means to be God. In the context of Philippians also, it's thinking about the Lord is also coming back. He's at hand. Like, he's about to show up and vanquish all his enemies, including anxiety. So we start settling our heart when we affirm God is sovereign over all things, including my situation, and place our faith in him and his care for us. Because if he is in control and he is near me and he is coming back, then guess what? I'm going to be just fine. God's got this, right? The Lord is at hand. God's presence beats our anxiety. No, at one level, Jesus also tells us that anxiety is a faith crisis. Okay, this is not every case of anxiety, but at some levels, this is a faith crisis. Jesus shows us this in Matthew and Luke, Matthew 6 and Luke 12, that anxiety is a symptom of a lack of or a broken faith in God's ability to care for us. Okay, even to the point it could be sinful at times. Sometimes we need to confess that God, I've been faithless, right? I'm putting my faith back in you. There in those chapters, Jesus is addressing the common needs of humanity. Sean read it this morning. Provision, food and clothing, length of life, the normal things that we're anxious about. And he says in Luke 12, 25, he says, look, and which one of you being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? The answer is none of us. Actually, we know that anxiety brings bad health things that will actually shorten your life. If then you're not able to do a small thing as that, add an hour to your life, then why are you anxious about anything else? Notice what Jesus does here. He takes the biggest worry of our life, how long I'm going to live, and he makes it a really small thing to him because he's in charge of that and it minimizes everything else. It's great. And then he links anxiety to a lack of faith. Look at verses 28 through 31 in Luke 12. He says, look, O you of little faith, do not seek what you, what, I have an error in my notes here. I said, you are to cat. It's not a cat. Don't seek the cat. Yeah, that'll bring anxiety. O you of little faith, do not seek what you are to eat, I think is what it's supposed to say. Don't seek what you're to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Listen, when we lose our faith in who God is and what he can do, we then begin to try to make it on our own. And that just doesn't go well, right? We fight and scrap and claw and worry. And that's exactly what the world does, Jesus says. The gospel answer, again, is, okay, once again, place our faith in Christ and in Jesus and God's provision for us, because he's actually the one in control of your life. He said how many days you're going to be here, and nobody can change it but him. The God who loves you and wants to take care of you. So again, seek first the kingdom of God, and then he says, look, then everything else follows. God takes care of you. Seek me first. The Lord is at hand. God's presence beats anxiety. And here's the good news. Sometimes we just can't muster up faith. In fact, we can't. In fact, the Bible says faith is a gift. 2 Timothy 2:13 then says, look, if we are faithless, the good news is he remains faithful. He can get you to a place of faith if we just get before him. Sometimes all we can do is speak into the night, God, I believe you're here. Help me. And let him flood the room and your heart with light and peace of Christ. Look, if God is in control and near, then the best thing you can do is talk to the guy who's in charge of all things. There is no one more qualified to deal with your problems than the one who's over it all. Leads us to the second part of Paul's remedy here. He gives for anxiety, and that is prayer. Here's our second point here. Prayer is the practical way now to hand off our anxiety to God. Okay, this is really a very simple answer. We take what's on our hearts and minds. You can physically think about it. Sometimes I do this. I actually grab it out of my heart, and then I take it over here, and I set it down before God in prayer. Okay, this is a practical way to do this. So many times I've prayed and said, God, I don't like this. I'm worried about this. This is driving me crazy. Will you figure this out for me? Like, I can't do it. I can't manage it anymore. God says, okay. Right? I've never had him say, nah, you got that one. He's all like, okay, yeah, that's what I said. Bring it to me, right? And then I sit back and watch. That's what Psalm 5 says. I offer my sacrifices to the Lord and prayers in the morning, and then I sit back and see what God does, right? Paul says this in Philippians 4, 5, and 6 again. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but here's what you do. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now notice what Paul says here. Don't be anxious about anything. What Paul is talking about here is crippling anxiety, consuming worry that has no place in the heart and mind of a follower of Jesus. Because we know the good God in charge of all things. As a follower of Jesus, he's saying you should not need to be anxious about anything in an unhealthy way. We're going to come back to that. Paul's saying we ought to submit our thoughts to God in prayer, and then we can have peace. And that's how we practically lift them out of our life and give them over to God. Psalm 145, 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Paul gives us a little bit about the manner of our prayer as well. Philippians 4, 6, he said it should be done with supplication and thanksgiving. This word supplication is a little older word. We're a little unfamiliar with it, maybe a weirder word. But speaks to this kind of humble and earnest nature that is how we make our requests to God, even borders on begging, actually. I mean, like really laying it out there before God. Earnest prayer of what's on our mind, and then being expectant that God's going to move in it. Praying in supplication means making earnest requests with humble acknowledgement of God's ability and control over my life and the whole situation. Psalm 107, in a couple verses, recounts some situations in the distress of the life of Israel. It talks about how they wandered in the desert and all the things they faced there, and how they were foolish in their sin, and then they were terrified in the midst of the storms of the sea. I think even a prophetic look towards what Jesus would do. And in each time it says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. This is what we have to do, right? God's saying, come to me in prayer and cry out, and I can deliver you. That doesn't always mean that the distressor is going away. It means that God is going to walk with us in our heart and mind through the stressor sometimes. But what's the problem here when it comes to suppliant prayer? Well, some of us just don't make the requests. Like if we surveyed your prayer life, like how much are you praying? James 4, 2 and 3 says, look, you don't have because you don't ask. Some of us just need to ask, and we'd be a lot less anxious. We'd rather fret and do something practical instead of prayer, right? Try to manage the situation. But prayer is the easiest, most practical thing and effective thing you could do. Talk to the God who's in control. Then some of us don't really cry out to God. Like we pray like, oh, Lord, maybe-est you could help me, a little wee one like myself. And, you know, but if you're too busy, like, don't bother yourself. That's not how God wants us to cry. He wants us to cry out like, God, I don't like this. This is really hard. You might even say things a preacher can't say from the pulpit. I've said some of those in my prayer life. I'm not going to make it if you don't move, Lord. Help me. I know you can do something about this. Be true to your promises. You know, you're sitting in my prayer closet this morning. It's kind of a big one. But I have come in here before, and I have gotten on my knees. I have laid on the floor. I have cried out to God over some really difficult things in this room. That's what Paul's saying. Like, get in there and take those things off your heart and give them to God. He's the one that can do something about them. And every time I walk out of here with an exchange of peace, right? God's got this. He's with me. And we have to learn how to cry out more. You know, Jesus wants us to pray and ask him things. Jesus wants us to hear your anxious thoughts and your prayer requests about those anxious thoughts. Part of being the blessing of being a Christ follower is that we've come into relationship with a Savior that cares for us. He wants to hear from us. In fact, Hebrews says he stands in heaven making pleas for your life day after day to the Father. In fact, Matthew 7, 7 through 11, Jesus says, look, ask and it will be given to you. Just let that sink in for a bit. In fact, he goes on to tell us, you ought to keep asking like an annoying neighbor that just comes and knocks on your door. Like, beat the door down of God's temple in your prayers saying, Jesus, help me. He says, if then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? In other words, we know how to give good gifts. Jesus gives even better gifts. But we got to ask, right? Hand off your anxiety to God with earnest prayer and then sit back and watch him move. Paul also says to pray with thanksgiving. You know, being thankful is a really powerful emotion and tool. In fact, you've seen kind of a rash over the recent years of business books that talk about starting your day with thankfulness, right? Well, who are you thankful to is what I always wonder who they're thankful to. But starting their day off with thankfulness and how it clears their mind. But for the Christian, thanksgiving helps us focus on what God has done in the past. Like, God, thank you that you did this. And then also, thanksgiving helps us think about what God is doing right now. Thank you, Lord, that I see that you're moving in these ways. And then when we remember and see what God has done and what he is doing, then our anxiety shrinks about the things we're currently worried about, because we know that God will move, and he is on our side. We've seen him do it. And if you can't remember a time when God moved in your life, number one, you're not thinking hard enough. But if you're so blinded by your anxiety, he's given you a book, 66 of them, that show characters that had the same anxious thoughts and dealt with the same things as you, and they cried out to God, and God moved in their situation. take their story to encourage you and be thankful. So as I pray with thankfulness, I'm refreshing what God has done, what he's doing, and I hand off my anxious thoughts to him, and I grow in my confidence and peace that he has the ability to work in my life. Now here's the promised result that Paul gives us. If you'll hand off your anxious thoughts to God in prayer, which is an acknowledgement of his sovereignty of all things, putting your faith in him to deal with them and his imminence in your life to deal with them, then the promised result is a wild peace that he says will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. Look, Paul says in Philippians 4:7, you will have the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Okay, what he's saying here is that from a worldly perspective, your peace as a Christian in the midst of your circumstances will not look sensible. Like, it'll look ridiculous. Because we look for security and security stats to have peace, right? Like if I got this much money in the bank, I'm doing okay. If I have this much food in the fridge, then I'm doing okay. If I have the things I need, then when anything takes place, I got what I need. If my health is good, then I will continue to have peace. Or we look to trust in our own abilities. Like, I can plan my way out of this. I can solve my situation. I can outwit the problems that I face. And we think that we can bring about or plan peace into our life. Well, only to find out the supplies run out. And you get the unexpected bills. And one day, you're going to run out of energy to solve them, and your health is going to fail. God already said that's going to happen. You're going to die. So how do we get through that? Well, Paul says, godly peace, peace that comes from handing our anxiety to the Lord in prayer, surpasses all understanding. I mean, it's just a mystery. Like, this is wild. And if you've experienced it, you know what a mystery it is. In other words, things can look really, really bad on the outside and to the world, but you can have peace in your heart. As I'm looking around the room, I can think of all the situations I know of that people have really difficult circumstances and they're really enjoying Jesus in the midst of it. This is because God is near and he gives a confidence that he will take care of you and see you through what you're facing. Listen, if you read any of church history, or listen to testimonies of people you know in this room, strong Christians have a peace that has allowed them to face persecution boldly. Peace that as they come to their end of their life, they have gone through all the paces of death, knowing God is with them and they're not afraid. And they've had peace as they've had to wait for God to move for years and years and years as they give him their anxious thoughts in prayer. Paul goes on to say that this is divine peace, right? He says, look, this peace will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So in other words, if there's new anxious developments in your situation, new waves of anxiety, new panic attacks, Jesus says, I have you and I am with you. I'm not going to let you go. You're not going to fail. You're with me, and I'll keep you from folding under this anxiety. Doesn't mean the waves don't come. Doesn't mean it's not difficult, but it means you'll be kept from falling. God's got you. As a Christian, you will make it. This is Christ's commitment to you, if you'll walk with him, right? There's a part of for us. We've got to walk with him, too. You've made him your Lord, your life, the Lord of your life. He'll be there to help you all the way to the end. You know, just a little example here. Jesus in the garden, I think, is a great example of what to do with anxiety and prayer. Luke 22, and then again in Matthew 26, records Jesus praying in great agony at the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, Matthew 26, 37, 38, it says, Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled. He's got some things on his mind, right? And then Jesus even said, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. In other words, this is a statement of great anxiety and worry that has led to depressive thoughts And even I want to get out of this through death. Like, if I could, you just let me go die over here, God, that would be okay. And Jesus goes on to pray, and he demonstrates for us casting his anxiety before the Lord. Luke 22, 42 records the prayer that Jesus prayed three times. Okay, again, emphatic, suppliant prayer, like, God, help me. He says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Look what verses 43 and 44 say. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. This is anxious, agonizing prayer that God is listening to and meeting and giving him strength. What's the result of this prayer? God is present with Christ. He gives him what he needs to meet the moment he's in, to face death on the cross with peace, and to accomplish our salvation. And the Bible says, even to the point of joy. It's crazy. Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy that was set before Christ, he endured the cross. Jesus endured the cross, accomplished our salvation, and God gave him the strength as he had prayed for. He had peace. That even turned into joy that surpasses all understanding. Like anybody would look at that situation and go, that's crazy. This is the peace of God. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 then tells us, this is in light of what Jesus has done, let us then likewise run the race God has given us, setting aside every weight and sin, and anxiety is one of those weights that God wants us to set aside. This morning, as we get to an end, we want to set aside anxiety as we pray this morning, some of those anxious thoughts over the last couple months. You want to be able to set those down before God and in exchange give his peace. In fact, that's what I want you to ask him in response when we get to the end here. Anxiety submitted to a sovereign and immanent God can actually find then its proper place in our emotional makeup. You know, I want to say this morning. We often try to rid ourselves completely of fear, anxiety, stress, shame. We make all these bad words, right? But fear can actually keep you safe. I actually joke with Sean all the time. I hate the song, Fear is a Liar. I'm always like, fear's a liar until it's not. Right? Like, sometimes it's keeping you safe. And fear submitted to the sovereignty of God is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs says. Say similarly about shame, right? Like, I am not shame in and of itself, but I can certainly do shameful things. Paul even talks about our shame before God leading us to repentance. And as we think about anxiety too, there is a place for it in our emotional makeup. Listen, I've been an adventure athlete for a lot of my time. We're talking about this in our discipleship class this morning a bit. But a little bit of anxiety can actually increase your enjoyment, right? Like you think of like we call it a nail-biter football game because, man, that's really fun, right? And anxiety can also cause you in the right place when you're anxious about something like, okay, I got to pony up. I got to get sharp here. I got to get ready to act, right? You want a soldier going into battle to be just a little bit anxious because you want him ready to act. And so as we submit our anxious thoughts to God, he gives us the strength to get him in the right place. That in God's providence, when I'm walking with the Lord and he's giving me strength and I'm feeling a little bit of anxiety, like he can help me act in the right ways in the midst of this circumstance. Do you know I'm doing one of the most anxiety-given things in all of humanity right now? Statistics say you would rather die than trade places with me right now. But my mom's here, so everything's okay. God's here with me. Right? But if you didn't have a preacher that wasn't just a hair nervous when you get up there, that'd be a weird sermon. Anxiety in the right place under God's sovereignty, trusting in him, can actually cause us to act in really great ways. And that's what we want, the peace of Christ reigning in our heart. God's presence defeats anxiety, and we practically give him our anxious thoughts and prayer, and then we get peace. Now, Paul's going to give us a bonus remedy. Are you ready for this one?